We will be back in just 90 seconds, part two of the Tom Bernard Show from the RentersWarehouse.com studios. I will tell you this, we do have a guest coming up at 4:30. We're going to talk about a contest in 90 seconds on the TomBernardShow.com.
Hi, Tom here for my friends at Renter's Warehouse. Are you considering a move soon? Need to relocate? Combine households or just don't want to pay your mortgage anymore? Forget the hassle of selling your home. Why risk getting less than your asking price? Find out what your home will rent for instead. Renter's Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent out your home easy, fast, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. And for only $80 a month, their professional landlords will manage your property 24/7, including rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, and more. They'll even warranty your renters for up to 9 months, meaning if for any reason the tenant doesn't stay, Renter's Warehouse will replace that tenant for free. There are no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. It sounds like a great deal because it is. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now for a free rental price analysis to see what your home will rent for today. Call 952-470-8888. Again, 952-470-8888 or visit renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse, the professional landlords. Dougie, what's new at Walzer?
I was reading this article in Edmonds about car shopping. Take a look.
Okay. Americans hate car shopping so much they'd rather give up sex and do taxes.
Yeah, it gets better.
What's ridiculous, though, is just how many people hate the haggle. 1 in 5 said they'd willingly give up sex for a month rather than haggle for a new car. Another 44% said they'd be willing to give up Facebook.
Read on, Sir Tom.
Even more worrying, though, are the number of people that'd simply prefer to avoid the car buying experience altogether. 1 in 3 people surveyed said they'd rather do taxes, go to the DMV, or sit in an airplane's middle seat.
Tom, this is the reason that Walzer does business differently. We've been hassle and haggle free for over 10 years, and people love it. Great pricing online, in the store, every single car, every single day.
And you don't have to give up Facebook?
Nope. In fact, I'd like you to read our new slogan from our brand new marketing department.
Okay. Here goes. Don't give up sex. Buy from Walzer and save the haggling for home.
What do you think?
Slight improvement over the old marketing department.
That's what I thought anyway. Well, so now the Washington Post is doing a news alert. Bergdahl's writings reveal his fragile state. Fuck you, this guy was a turncoat deserting piece of shit. And I will never understand why they negotiated for his release. What is this administration doing?
AWOL.
Well, is he on trial? Is he going to be on? They have a trial date for him?
No.
Going to face the charges?
No. Not that I can read. Maybe he is, but I don't see it. In part one, I was talking to Cy Amundsen and Tommy Mischke and everybody here now. Actually, I should say this is the TomBernardShow.com with
Andy Brent Barnard,
Mike Rasmussen,
Ralph W. Basham, MD, the Hackmaster.
Catherine is here, but not on the podcast. Alex is in doula training, which Andy was explaining as a hipster what?
Midwife.
A hipster midwife.
Yeah. And I looked it up, and yes, that is basically what it is.
I'm sure that's going to be well received. That is going to be well received by the family. A doula. She's going to be a doula. Yeah. So in any case, I watched Last Comic Standing. I hated Last Comic Standing the first season because you had two of the funniest guys in America on there, Rich Voss and Dave Mordall. They give the grand prize to a piece of shit, totally unfunny, horribly unfunny Dat fan. And I didn't watch it again for many, many years. I watched it again. It was a replay of last week's show. I watched it two nights ago, and I, again, will never watch that show again because I could pick out by race and sexual orientation who they were going to pick. It's fucking obnoxious that you racist fucking pricks. I am so tired. It's not based on ability any longer. You talk about whoever has, whoever's ever able to do the job best, you get the job. That's not what you do. I mean, I predicted to Catherine, each person, they picked, I think, 7 people to move on to the semifinals. I picked all 7 of them.
Not based on ability, just by?
Skin color, gender, and sexual orientation. That's all that matters. They pick one redneck.
They pick the novel people.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's just, when you can predict, and not, they were, half of them were not funny at all. Not at all. Tim Harmston went on there and killed it. And it's not just because he's from Minnesota and Mary Mack's husband. That's got nothing to do with it. He was very, very funny on that show. They didn't even give him a second look. Matter of fact, all they basically did was criticize him.
James Adomian in 2010, he was out in the second round.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's not funny.
Laurie Kilmartin and Maranzio Vance were, too.
Laurie Kilmartin, hilarious. Hilarious.
Do I know her?
Yes,
oh, yeah, yeah, I do.
She's a head writer for Conan. She writes his monologues. But I'm getting so tired of these goddamn shows where it has nothing to do with your talent. It's all such politically correct horseshit. It's unwatchable. Now, again, if they're funny, that's great. I got no problem with that based on being funny. But this is all based on politically correct horseshit. That's all it is. And I can't watch stuff like that. Because there were people that were very, very funny, and all he did was criticize them. And by the way, the people criticizing him are not funny themselves. Keenan Ivory Wayans hasn't been funny in 20 fucking years. Roseanne Barr hasn't been funny in 25 years. Russell Peters, we don't know yet. He's the hugest comedian around the world. I have never seen him be funny. Now, Mike, have you ever seen him?
No, I didn't even know who he was until I heard
Russell
he was,
Peters,
one of the guys in the show.
He's huge around the world. He's from Canada, and he's huge in Canada, but he's huge around the globe. But I've seen him do a couple things, and he wasn't funny in the least. So I don't know. He might be funny because I haven't seen enough of him to judge. But what I saw of him was not funny. I don't get it. Great singers. I stopped watching American Idol because they picked these people who couldn't sing a goddamn note.
Yeah.
Like Ruben Stoddard.
Well, I mean, how many Christ. American Idols became like back into obscurity a year later?
All of them, except for like one. Well, except for about two or three. Who? You got Daughtry, who does well. Chris Daughtry. You got Carrie Underwood. She was an American Idol.
She's the biggest one. Yeah,
I think she's got to be the biggest one. But other than that, is there? I don't know. Is there anybody else?
Clay Aiken. He didn't win, but he's running for Congress or something.
Yeah, but he's not an entertainer.
Bailing on.
Don't you understand that your politically correct bullshit is destroying what equality is supposed to be? I mean, I just don't understand why you can't see what you're doing is really a bad idea.
Oh, here we go. The winners. We got Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, she's big.
She's big. Yeah,
she's big.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, that was season one, though, when it was like, you know. Ruben Studdard, there's in the season two.
He was terrible.
Fantasia Barrino.
Never heard of her.
Carrie Underwood, there's.
There's Carrie. There's two.
Taylor Hicks.
Taylor Hicks was big for a while, but something happened.
Yeah, he's.
He started looking too much like Mr. Bean.
Yes.
Jordan Sparks.
Never heard of him.
David Cook.
Never heard of him.
Chris Allen.
Never heard of him.
Lee DeWise.
Never
it seems like once season seven started, they just kind of started pumping out clones of one another.
Did Daughtry not win?
Yeah, they're just all clones. They look the exact same. What the hell's going on?
Oh, really?
And then Daughtry? Daughtry. I don't see anyone named Daughtry.
What? So he didn't even win.
Bald.
No, he was not the thing. Most recent is Candace Glover.
Never heard of her.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I try to watch these shows. I thought, well, you know, I've heard this Russell Peters is very funny, and, you know, maybe they finally figured out to get away from that politically correct agenda to pick winner, but they haven't. They're just it's the same old bullshit. It's predictable. It's like, you know, on America's Funniest Home Videos,
the baby wins every time. Yep.
Every time it's the little baby wins the funniest video in the world.
Well, society as a whole is just one big popularity contest.
That's true.
And that is why I don't participate.
No, it's absolutely true. It's just I wish we could have one contest that wasn't completely rigged by political views. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Nope. Yeah.
It's the easiest way to get people on your side is to pander to their politics.
I guess you're
right. And that's why it'll literally never go away.
When Lindsay tried to get me to watch Survivor – the first season, she was so excited. I enjoyed it so much. I said, okay, I'll watch the last episode. There are three people left. And I said, oh, the heavyset gay guy's going to win. Even before it started.
Well,
and that's who won.
That's who won, Richard Hatch, right?
Yeah. And so I, it was just, it be, and I, it, that was set up. I mean, that was just done.
It's all set up for shit. I mean, Rich Voss and Dave Mordall were so far superior in that first season of Last Comic Standing. It wasn't even close.
That fan, he couldn't even do those jokes. Well, he can, but it's just all racist hack shit about, like,
his mother.
Is he one of those guys? Yeah, my mom
called me this. Yeah, he's like this. Ain't that time? What are you doing that time?
He's yet another one of those comedians. Oh. My parents talked funny.
Yep, that's all he did.
That's all he ever did. Not funny at all. Is Catherine coming in? Mom!
I don't know what
she walked right by me.
I'm sure she's taking Jude out.
Why take Jude out? He peed all over the floor.
And I'm taking full credit. I cleaned it up.
Did you clean
it up? I cleaned it up. I cleaned it up. I mentioned it to Catherine. She got busy doing something else. She probably forgot about it. I figured, why leave? Someone's going to step in and make a mess, slip,
fall. Slip and fall. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole problem. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to watch your contests, and I'd love to watch your comedy shows, and I'd love to watch your singer shows, but it's your bullshit choices that are totally based on you trying to make yourself look good by who you chose, not by talent. It's not by talent at all. You know, you don't have to take Jude out. He peed all over the floor.
Yes.
Oh, so you did know that.
Jude, why are you
let's get a little bigger, for Christ's sake.
He's huge.
Yeah, he keeps growing every day.
Getting big every day, he's getting bigger.
He's huge.
Judy in the Sky with Diamonds. Did I not pick out all seven of the advancers on Last Comic Standing 2 nights ago?
Of course, you're always right.
That's
what I'm paid to say.
Was Tommy Ryman one of them? He's from Minnesota. I know he went to the semifinals. I don't know if he was on that episode.
I don't think so.
You probably would have known because he mentioned Minneapolis in his set, I think.
Last Mary Comic Standing 2014. Husband.
Let's see.
He didn't make it.
That's
make
crazy.
It.
He's so funny. Tim
he's, he was hilarious.
He's so
funny. And all they did was rip him.
It's just
night one, Tracy Ashley. We've had her.
We love
Mark Norman, Dave Landau, Ada Rodriguez, Joe Mackey, Matchy, some crap, and Rodman.
Rodman?
Rod?
Rodman. Really? Man.
As every man wow. wants to be called.
Just call me Rod.
And then night two was Dana Eagle, Nick Guerra, Aaron Jackson, Mike Vecchione. Jesper Red, Lachlan Peterson, Tyree Elaine, and Jimmy Schubert.
Jimmy Schubert!
All right, good. We got two good choices there. God,
there's
Ashley
so
and
many
Jimmy.
Names. Jimmy I don't should win.
Oh, there's only two more nights.
Chloe more. Hilliard, Alingan Mitra. I have no goddamn idea. Gerald Kelly, Zainab Johnson. DC Benny, Emily Galati.
She's been on here.
Yeah, Emily.
And Rocky Laporte.
Rocky!
Yep. And then finally, Carlouse Miller, Deanne Smith, Nikki Carr, Tommy Ryman, Yamaneka Saunders, Mike Gaffney, and Monroe Martin.
Oh, so Tommy Ryman's the guy with the black horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, he was super funny. He's super
so
funny.
So 28 of the initial 100 advances
in
the
gay?
Finals.
No.
Well, how do you make it through?
Yeah, I know.
Oh. How'd that
he's
happen?
Married,
politically like, correct.
Yeah.
No, he was funny. Tommy Ryman was funny.
They liked him a lot, yeah.
Yep. So there you go. We have somebody in every category that we want to win.
You know what
Gracie Ashley.
They did for the they told all those comics like who were on so top 100. They told all of them they're going to be on the first episode.
Yeah,
so they all tweeted out like, yeah, I get everyone tune in.
And
they did it. Didn't tell them, so they did it four episodes in a row. And 32 of those 100 comics didn't ever get on the show.
Oh, that too.
So they just like sitting there like,
you were on.
Yeah, I was actually, my back was
your
on
back
the show.
Was
yeah,
on the
I'm
show.
Like, that's Mike Rasmussen.
Yeah, I was like,
I wonder if he knows he's on.
Got my new first TV credit. No big deal.
Yep, guy in plaid shirt. I think it was that shirt.
I think it was that shirt.
Yeah, right.
It was that shirt.
He only owns two, so it's a 50-50 chance.
I'm kind of surprised we're not obligated to give everyone at least some screen time.
Yeah.
Well, it was like that
first
when Alex auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance. They make it look like you're supposed to have a 2-minute prepared piece. They bring you down into this sub-basement and have you flail around to some certain kind of music, and if you don't wow them right there, you don't get to do your piece anyway.
If you're not the right combination of attractive and
talented. Something like that anyway.
You have to be the trendy token of the day.
This is true.
But yes, I mean, that's the whole problem with those shows. I watched Longmire last night. I loved Longmire, but I thought it was rather interesting. They did a promo on Longmire about next week's episode, and they said it's Judgment Day, and Judgment was spelled J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N-T.
That's how I spell it.
The British way.
That's the British way of spelling it. It's not correct. There's no E in Judgment.
Unless you're
it's
British.
An ugly word, though.
It is an ugly word.
I know. I like E-G-M. The E in it better, to
yeah.
tell you the
I
truth.
I spell it with an E because I refuse to spell it.
But
like
it's not
I'm
correct.
Drowning in peanut
well,
butter.
There's worse things that can happen.
Yeah, like
no, there isn't. No, there isn't.
Yes, for example, irregardless is now an accepted word.
What?
Yes.
Webster said you can use irregardless.
My father, so I even yeah, when I was in I high school, I'm like, Dad, no such word. He's like, what? And he got all pissed off at me. And I'm like, there's no such word. And then years later, he used it again. And I'm like, I thought I told you. And I looked in the dictionary. I was going to like, see, Dad, see. And it was in the dictionary. And I'm like, shit.
Is Kermit Apio coming in on Friday from Acme?
Yeah, I think so.
Kermit is the greatest,
I don't know
nicest
why
guy in the world.
The board
Daniel Kinnell is going to be in tomorrow.
He's a podcast
we have a guest
bet.
At 4:30.
Yep. He's okay. calling in.
Oh, we have okay. a guest calling in. Yeah, well, matter of fact, we should, may as well take our break here because he's going to call in 4:30. Don't you agree? From the RentersWarehouse.com studio, the TomBernardShow.com. Listen to the Love Happy Hour with Kaylin Rosenberg, the love architect, author, celebrity matchmaker, and renowned relationship expert, along with producer Kelly Guest, live every Friday at TheLoveHappyHour.com on demand, on iTunes, or on YouTube. The Love Happy Hour weekly on the Tom Bernard Network. I have a good reason to be talking today to Mike Bryant of the law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant.
Other than I'm one of the nicest people you know.
Well, that too. Now, today I need some legal advice.
I'll do my best. We always do our best for all of our clients.
Okay, here's my problem. I think I have a libel case for you to handle.
Okay, give me the facts.
Okay, the facts are I've been accused of being a bigoted, racist asshole.
Okay. I think a jury would be convinced, based on your statement, that there is no place for racism, that you hired the first black co-host for a radio show in the market, and that you grew up in North Minneapolis, that you couldn't, by any stretch of the imagination, be guilty of racism.
Well, thank you for that.
Easy money for Bradshaw & Bryant. The facts show the person was uttering the canard, was had libeled you, defamed you, and damaged your reputation.
And he also called me an asshole. What can you do for me there?
Honestly?
Well, yeah, of course.
In libel, truth is an affirmative defense.
You mean if I am an asshole and he calls me an asshole, I have no complaint?
I'm just saying.
What do you think of that action, ladies and gentlemen? Michael Bryant, Bradshaw, and Bryant.
Brad. The first known use of irregardless is 1912.
Oh, so that's before his time, just, even.
Well,
but it's now acceptable, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you mean by acceptable. It's recognized
well, it's
as a word, but
it
it's not.
Yeah,
but
it's slang. Would it be slang then? Isn't that what happens?
No, it's a non-standard word.
Non-standard.
So you're an idiot.
Non-standard.
Non-standard.
How politically correct?
Yeah.
What's
another? Poor English.
What's an orientated? I'm disorientated.
Orientated.
Really?
Yeah. Orientation.
Orientated.
Orientated.
I'm disorientated.
Orientate,
no,
yes.
Oriented,
yeah. Oh, orientate is British.
I don't know. I say stuff wrong all the time.
See, I mean, there's British again. This is not England, for Christ's sake.
Because I'm an idiot, apparently.
I just...
He doesn't disagree. Thank you. Thank you for the support.
Okay. Right. You know damn right. Are we ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Dave Engledahl, you're on the phone. Dave?
I am. I'm here. Thank you.
Isn't there a lot of pressure to put on yourself? I don't know that you put this on yourself, but it says right here, Internet sensation Dave Engledahl. Jesus, that's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah, it is. I didn't write that copy, but I guess it's true.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Usually I have a hard time finding headshots of our guests, but this one's going to be pretty easy.
You're all over the place, man.
I've got my pick.
You're an internet sensation, man. That's why. That's how easy it is. You were here to share how you capture your hilarious first-time parenting photos. Well, how did this all start, Dave?
Well, this all started when my daughter, Alice B., was about 9 weeks old. I was feeling incredibly exhausted. I don't think I'd gotten very much sleep for the previous 9 weeks. And I was feeling really clueless, you know, as a new parent. And so I wanted to create an image that would kind of capture what I was feeling. You know, so we set up a shot where I was, you know, holding my daughter sort of like a football and kind of distractedly looking at the newspaper while using her milk for my own coffee. And then we decided to use kind of a prop mug at the last minute that said World's Best Father to make the joke a little bit funnier. And, you know, after we posted the photo to Facebook for our friends and family, we got a really positive response and decided that it might be fun to kind of continue to poke fun at the stereotypes associated with fathers and kind of took off from there.
So was there one particular photo that caused you to become an internet sensation?
I think it was a slow build, but really made things go viral, I think, was in 2012. We had a few of our friends and family that wanted us to do a calendar, so we put together a Kickstarter campaign, and it was named the Staff Pick on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, I think it really kind of took off, and, you know, within 48 hours, we were, you know, hearing from people all over the world. It all happened very quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, are you a friend of Dennis Miller's, or are you just on Dennis Miller's show a lot?
I don't know that I've ever been on Dennis Miller's show.
It says here he has been on Dennis Miller's show a few times.
Hmm.
I wonder where that came from. Sir Dave, you lied to people. Way to go.
Apparently, yeah. I apologize for that.
I don't think you did it. I think somebody else. I don't know why that's on there, but somebody put on. Let me crumple this up and throw it away because we're talking to Dave. Is it? And you pronounce it Engledown, right?
Engledown, that's correct.
And where do you live, Dave?
I live in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C.
Okay, now the fittest city in America. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's very cool.
You don't believe it, though, do you?
Not if I'm living in it, that's definitely lower.
That's dropping the bar a little bit. I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, so internet sensation, how many people have seen your work?
It's got to be in the millions at this point. You know, we've been published in magazines in many different countries. We've been on television in a number of countries. You know, we've been featured on BuzzFeed several times. You know, and those stories always, you know, generate millions of views. So easily in the millions at this point.
So Dave, how do you capitalize on this and start making the big dough?
That's a really good question. You know, this is when we started this project, and even now, it's really been about creating something for our family. I think that's why people relate to it, is because, you know, at the end of the day, these are kind of our family's photos, even though they're a little more creative than your typical photos. We have just put together a book called Confessions of the World's Best Father. It's been out for about 4 weeks. You know, and it's available for purchase in, you know, most major book retailers, and it's a great Father's Day gift.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. I mean, you're getting a lot of very positive response from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, the response has been great. You know, it was really great reviews for the book. You know, our fans on Facebook have all, a lot of them have been taking pictures of themselves with the book, which is really nice. And one of the things that I didn't really expect, but I'm hearing a lot from our fans, is that the young children are actually just eating this thing up. You know, I had intended this to be more for an adult audience of parents, but apparently the kids really dig the funny photos and the danger associated with them.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think the kids just love it so much? Were they basically reminiscing about the old days, even though they're little kids?
I think it might be that. I also think that, you know, some of the pictures, you know, they look at it and it's obviously funny because it's something that's not supposed to be happening. You know, my daughter is not supposed to be sitting on the stovetop popping popcorn over an open flame.
No.
No, and so I think that kids, you know, recognize that as being funny and also something that's not supposed to happen, and it's kind of exciting for them.
How did you find out that you would all of a sudden, I mean, did you just check your status and found out, oh, wait a minute, how did this happen? All these people been attracted to what I posted?
Yeah, it was, it all happened amazingly quickly. I got an email from someone at the Huffington Post that said they wanted to do an interview with me. And while I was doing that interview, my phone, I got a text message from someone at the Today Show. I mean, it literally happened that fast, just within a few hours. It was really crazy.
That's wonderful. I mean, you sound like you're very happy. That's a good thing. It made you very happy.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I just wrote a blog post the other day about you know, how being a new parent, you know, at least at this stage in my life, my daughter's 3 and a half, mm-hmm. Has really helped me become a little less jaded and a little less cynical. You know, in particular, when it comes to children, I was never really considered myself a lover of children. You know, she has been such a joy for our family, and there's literally not a day that goes by that she doesn't do something or say something that just, you know, makes my wife and I bust out laughing. So it's a really amazing experience.
That's a wonderful thing. Now, if people want to see your work, where do they go?
The easiest way to see my work is to just go to Facebook and type in World's Best Father. You'll go right to our page. We're continually creating new work and posting it there. So a really great place to follow our work.
Magnificent. Dave, thanks for your time today, sir.
Thank you so much.
Great talking to you. Dave Engledow is his name. Internet sensation. Whether he likes it or not, he's an internet sensation.
Yeah, if you Google his name, there's a whole bunch of pictures of things like he was saying. So he's clearly done at least several dozen of these.
And Andy, do you see a reason why people, so many millions of people would go look at this? Oh, Ralph does.
Yeah.
They're just well-designed pictures, really. I mean, like so many pictures of this kind of nature, they're just kind of boring. It's like, oh, you got your daughter at breakfast. That's great. But I don't know, like they've got the props there but that are, you know, they're designed to look like breakfast. But they're clearly there as props. And then there's the non-standard situation like this one. He's got a piece of toast with a bite mark out of it, and the daughter's got toast in her mouth. So it's like, you know, a kind of story there.
Yeah, and then a little kooky.
Yeah, it's just people are just, I think people are just so sick of – people are just sick of generic parenthood photos. So they like seeing a parenthood photo that's actually interesting for once.
Yeah, well, I mean they're well put together, but they're all silly. The reason children like them is because they are silly.
And well,
children see
it.
Silliness. Yeah,
and, so yeah. I'd hate them.
I don't think you'd like them. I don't think you'd
well,
like
not
them.
That over the top though.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty. I don't know, Andy.
It depends. I mean, some of them are, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, the one with him sitting on the toilet and his little daughter sitting on the back of the toilet doing an upper decker. I mean, that's kind of
upper decker. Yeah, what the hell is that?
I hadn't seen that one yet.
Upper
yeah,
decker,
that's pretty.
Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, there it is.
So I mean, they're just kooky. I think they're fine, but you know that's why kids like them.
Well, that's good. I mean, the guy sounds like a nice guy.
Oh yeah, and it's a wonderful project for him and him and his children and daughter. So yeah, he's making a living.
I have a question for you. I just saw a headline in the Star Tribune that says number of uninsured Minnesotans falls to an all-time low. Well, isn't it illegal not to have health insurance now?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So,
well, why is it that just 4.9% of Minnesotans didn't have health insurance as of May 1st?
How
is it possible that 5% of people in the state don't have any goddamn health insurance if it's a law that you have to have health insurance?
Well, I mean, how many Minnesotans are out in some city that's miles from anything where no government agent's going to give a crap?
I don't care.
I mean, like, you know, you live 3 hours north of the cities. It's like, who's going to come out there and bust you for not having insurance? It's a waste of time.
How many homeless people are going to have insurance and no one's going to bust them?
Well, but I mean, the homeless can't be more than like 0.5%.
You know what I love? I absolutely love this. The graphic is shown here and the headline says, Minnesota's uninsured dropped 40.6%. Minnesota's uninsured dropped 40.6% during the first open enrollment period. Now, wouldn't you think that would be just a huge number?
Yes.
It dropped from 8.2% to 5%.
Really?
Yeah.
It's 40%, but it sounds like 40% of Minnesotans picked up insurance.
Yeah.
When 3%.
So that's that manipulation of numbers to make it sound like the government's doing a better job than it really is. It just irritates the crap out of me.
I agree with you completely. It's just, would you stop trying to manipulate the numbers and make it look better than it is? Hey, great. Everybody's got health insurance. That's wonderful. Mine costs now it's about $20,000 a year, so thanks for that. That's great.
Get those ne'er-do-wells who aren't insured and get them in the roll so they can start paying their fair share.
Yeah, I just
what's he eating?
Catherine and my health insurance now costs about $20,000 a year. Why? I mean,
I know, and that doesn't even actually cover anything until we've paid out like $14,000.
Yeah, my deductible's pretty high.
It's ridiculous.
Of our own money, then it starts kicking in, and that's what it feels like kicking in, and not for right. prescriptions. Still,
our bill went from $1,000 a month,
no dental,
to $1,700 a month because of this bullshit law.
Yeah, you got to pay for everybody else.
Got to pay for everybody else.
It's just another kind of tax, and people just love it.
It's just
it's not called a tax, but it's a tax.
I cannot wait to get to the point where I retire and then just stab everybody right in the goddamn.
Well, they don't leave you
pocket.
Alone when you're retired.
I know they don't. That's
Are you
the whole
kidding
problem.
Me? They don't give a crap if you've been saving your taxed dollars forever. They're going to tax you again.
I have a hard time. And Andy was talking about the numbers, the one percenters and the, well, what were the numbers again, Andy? They were just really low.
1% is 250.
$250,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
upper middle class.
Upper middle class is 110,000.
I think they said that was 105%.
Yeah.
The upper 5% was
100,000.
That only 5% of people in the United States make more than $100,000 a year.
I have a hard time believing
that. I can't believe that's true.
That just doesn't sound right. I mean, one person or not a combined income, obviously, then. Because a combined income has got to be...
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Two people
household,
working.
So that's individual income rather than household income.
It must be.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be.
It has to be.
But that puts you... $110,000 a year puts you in the upper 5%.
But yep. I still have a hard time believing
that.
I do, too.
I do.
So that means that about 16, we'll round it up, 17 million people in America make more than $100,000 a year. 17 million out of 335 million people.
Ooh, man, that's lopsided.
I'm not buying that at all. I
no.
just, sorry. Let me just look at the people in this room for a minute. Stiffs in here. All the stiffs in this room.
I make negative money every year.
Yeah, Catherine makes negative.
It's because you spend too much.
No,
I'm just
if I put in the hours of what I could possibly potentially make if I work for somebody else, I make negative money.
I'm just reeling after Lindsay's visit to the Prada store in Chicago.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh, she's a lucky person all the way around.
We will be right back in 90 seconds from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, TomBernardShow.com. Back in 90 seconds. Tommy Mischke, people of Midwest Fence. I want to hear about him.
Remember the old line, Robert Frost poem, good fences make good neighbors?
Absolutely.
I always thought that should be their slogan.
I'm telling you flat out, and you know this, and Sean, everybody knows it, I don't live without fences. I have a fence. I have a gate. Couldn't live without them.
Right, but you're one of those guys who has fences to keep people out. Some people have fences to keep things in, the dog, the little kids.
I'm keeping you in.
Who is on the other side of your fence wanting in, by the way?
No, I just love the security of fencing. I love that about fencing.
Defines a piece of property. And the fences, when they're beautiful, and they are a Midwest fence, they can make the whole yard look beautiful.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. There's so many different styles and colors to choose from. When they installed the fence for me, it was out at the farm, 1 mile of fencing.
No kidding?
1 mile of PVC fencing.
And then you electrify it, don't you?
It's still there. Let me just point that out as well. 20 years later, it's there. It looks like it was put in yesterday. It's just great fencing.
Midwest Fence, serving the metro and beyond. See us online at MidwestFence.com. That's MidwestFence.com for $250 off any fence project.
Are you really ready for retirement? Do you know what that really means? It's Tom Bernard here to talk to you about Sandvold & Associates Financial Services Group. Did you know that there are 81 different ways to take Social Security if you're married? Did you know that you have a key opportunity at age 59 and a half to roll over your 401k to an IRA while still working? Did you know that if you don't do certain things when you're age 70 and a half, that there are costly tax implications? Honey, you're rubbing against your microphone there.
Sorry.
Did you know that if you don't do certain things when you're 70 and a half, that there are costly tax implications? When it comes to planning for retirement, there's a lot to know, and Terry Sandvold has focused on helping people make sure that they're prepared to lead the life they'd like when it's time to retire. Whether you want to travel, volunteer, leave a legacy for your loved ones, or a charity, Terry and his team at Sandvold & Associates will help you organize these goals and manage your progress. Terry's been helping people to be really ready for retirement for over 27 years now. Call Sandvold & Associates for a no-cost, no-obligation review or second opinion. Call 952-544-2837. That's 952-544-2837. Go online to helpmeterry.com. That's helpmeterry.com. We welcome Terry and his to our Tom Bernard Podcast Network with his Money Talk show streaming live on Mondays at 2 p.m.
Jude's being a weirdo.
Jude's always a weirdo.
Yeah, he's in the corner of the closet for some strange reason now. That's his
I looked
new
up
hideout.
The data. The 250,000 being 1% thing is true.
What is that now, Andy? Sorry about that.
250,000 and above. 2% of households, which would mean 1% of people.
Okay.
That's true. But 100,000 and up being 5% is not even close.
I didn't think it. There's, yeah. I didn't think there was any way that,
that could be.
100 to 150 alone is 11.9%.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's total bullshit. Why do they. They keep lobbing these things out there, and it's all bullshit, and everybody knows it's all bullshit.
The vast majority of the population – well, not the vast majority, but it's overrepresented 60,000 and above. People who make less than that are less common.
Right.
I guess you'd say.
Okay, I got to run something by you guys. Anybody in this room a soccer fan?
Mildly.
Kind of. A little bit.
Kind, when it's kind of good.
Didn't I just say we don't have a lot of poor people in here?
Holy cow.
What a thing to say. You were in soccer.
It's the poor person sport.
No, it just isn't.
It is. It kind of is.
It isn't.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Really?
It kind of, oh, yeah, kind of
yeah,
is.
Definitely.
You know,
football isn't big outside of America. Hockey isn't big outside of America or Canada.
Oh, in Europe. Hockey's huge in Europe and in Russia.
Yeah, well, Eastern, I suppose Eastern Europe.
In like, yeah, the snow lands.
The snow lands, yeah.
Basketball isn't really big outside of America.
The only reason I bring it up is Sao Paulo, Brazil. Brazil playing host to the planet's biggest single sporting tournament should be the country's moment to shine. Instead,
he's looking for a place to bury his bone.
The spotlight is exposing major problems on the eve of soccer's World Cup. Brazil will welcome the players and fans to unfinished airports, drive them past uncompleted transportation systems through streets that have been clogged with rioters protesting the cost of the tournament and into stadiums that have cost lives to build and haven't all been finished. In Brazil today, they had a traffic jam.
Oh, yeah, because they are on strike. Their trains are on strike.
Right.
You want to know how big the traffic jam was?
Yeah.
12 miles long.
214 miles long.
I was off.
It's like China level.
Gridlock?
214 mile long traffic jam.
Oh, I bet you there were no fist fights in the streets there.
Man.
Oh.
You can imagine it.
No.
You know, move those Olympics as fast as you can away
really.
From there.
Yeah, this sounds like a bad plan.
Because of it, Brazil has committed 170,000 troops and police.
Oh, just
170,000.
Traffic.
Jesus. There are a few other problems. Sao Paulo has just suffered its worst ever traffic jam with 214 miles of vehicles slowed to a standstill.
Oh.
214 miles.
That's from here past Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Oh, God, yes. Way past.
Oh, that's almost to...
You'd be sitting in traffic for
to
up to 8 hours.
No, that's to South Dakota. Is it?
Yeah.
Almost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
A traffic jam, 214 miles long. God. That's hideous.
Man.
I mean, it's just hideous.
It's hard to comprehend.
It is
chopper,
absolutely
chopper
hideous.
Five. Chopper five.
So how's the traffic? Like, well, you know. Yeah. Jesus, I would hang myself. I really would. To sit in, oh, my God, I couldn't do it. There is a young person walking down the street in Sao Paulo. There are police in riot gear everywhere.
Oh, it can get really ugly fast.
Everywhere.
People can't get places and have to abandon their cars and running out of gas and, oh, my God.
And the people in the favelas are not very happy and they're everybody's angry. Really, they're angry about the social choice, the opportunity cost of the money that's gone into all these stadiums,
yes,
and the production, all this stuff. And they,
right,
they don't have the infrastructure. They don't got toilets. They don't got, you know, they don't got the, like, running water. I mean, they're not a good place.
Yeah. All right, so I got the Google Maps open. As the crow flies, 214 miles will get you almost to Des Moines.
Wow.
It'll get you past Watertown, South Dakota. It'll get you just to Fargo. Let's see, 214.
All the way to Fargo?
214 miles is about 30 miles short of Canada. Yeah.
That's how long the traffic jam was. Unbelievable.
It's almost to Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, it's quite a distance.
No, thank you.
Almost to
Yeah, Madison is 225 miles. So,
that's just terrible.
Yeah. And there's a huge uproar over FIFA. FIFA, the people who run this thing,
yes.
And that there have been there's allegations of bribery and things when they gave it to
allegations.
One of the
smart money says
there's an Arab country that's going to host it, Qatar. One of the it's going to be you know 120 degrees
Qatar,
where they're trying to play these games. It's like nuts. They say, oh well,
and sandstorms everywhere.
Qatar, yes, Doha in Qatar, 2020.
2020.
Or perhaps 2016. They've been on both.
Yeah. I think 2016 is Russia. Russia got that one.
Right.
Yeah, they are 2020, so yeah.
Why do they ask questions like this? Why was Arsenio Hall's show canceled? Why do you think?
No,
because he hasn't been relevant in 30 years.
Why was his last show canceled?
Arsenio was losing its time slots. Tribune Broadcasting was a partner in the show, but even its flagship New York station, WPIX, moved Arsenio from 11 to 11:30. It was clear others would follow. The real blow came when CBS got word that one of the nation's largest local station operators, Sinclair Broadcast Group, was set to downgrade Arsenio out of 11 p.m. to midnight. Insiders say CBS then crunched the numbers and realized advertising revenue would take a huge hit. Number two, the audience just wasn't there. Really? So you cancel it for that reason?
What a weird reason.
What a weird reason to cancel the show. After opening strong, Arsenio dropped 60%.
Ooh, yikes. That's bad.
You can't be fourth choice out there, a show insider says. It needed a new showrunner. Executive producer Neil Kendall exited soon after the show premiered and was never replaced. CBS executive Eric Pankowski ran things in the interim. The studio had planned to hire a showrunner with a strong comedy background, but execs opted not to spend the money necessary to bring in a new production team. Number four, it was struggling creatively. Insiders always believed it would take at least a year for Hall to get comfortable. Arsenio made big waves with such episodes as the one devoted to Prince, but it struggled to book another big name guests. And finally, failure is the nature of syndication. Syndicated shows are subject to the whims of stations that want quick results and have itchy trigger fingers. WPIX wasted no time replacing Arsenio with Seinfeld repeats.
Oh, ow.
Okay.
Man, you're making more money off
that. Arsenio's first show didn't do all that great.
It actually did for a while. Sure.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, for a while, but it wasn't like a long-lasting show.
No.
And then they brought him on again, right? Isn't this his third chance?
Arsenio Hall show was 1989 and 1994. So, you know, 5 years.
How long? Oh, it lasted 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised. I thought it was only two years.
It did pretty well for a while.
But what late-night show is going to hire somebody who last was on in the early 90s, someone who's talent that's 25 years old.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Has failed. What was the logic behind that? Where all the other shows are hiring newer, more current talent.
Younger. Well, the logic was that's the last thing he did that was successful, so he figured, you know, lightning strikes twice.
Well, they were probably looking for a black male. That's what I would guess.
Well, there's a lot of options.
There's a lot of funnier young black male
comics.
Well,
but he's already done it before, and maybe they thought it would be sort of retro. I don't know.
Retro isn't really in right now.
It isn't?
No, not
unless
either.
You're a hipster.
And even them, they're like 50s retro. 90s retro is not going to be in for another 20 years. Because it's not retro, it's just outdated.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
No, you're absolutely right.
Well put, absolutely.
Didn't mention a goddamn word to us. Our pal Dave Coulier got engaged. I get to marry my best friend, said Dave Coulier. Didn't say a word about it when he was in studio here at the Tom Bernard Show.
No, he didn't. He didn't want to spoil the surprise,
God
most likely.
What a nice guy. Just a tremendously nice man. And then there's the thing, I don't understand this. Coulier denies You Ought to Know is about him. What's You Ought to Know?
This song by Alanis Morissette. That's
right. I forgot to ask him about that.
So what is You Ought to Know? I don't know.
That's Alanis Morissette, that song where she's basically ripping into some ex-lover of hers. And there was always
a rumor.
You'd know
if you heard it.
Yeah, just one of her songs, you know.
It's basically the only Alanis Morissette song.
The last time I heard her sing, I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one in a peace sign.
I got
I slammed
one hand
a
in
fucking
my
brick in my radio.
it.
Oh, yeah, the other one's giving up.
Like
hi, Ayev, hi, Ayev.
What? That's right.
That's how she sings it. What?
It's true. That's exactly how she sang it.
I just, how can anyone listen to that crap? Do that again, Andy. Okay.
Oh. You know, no, I don't do that.
Hi, Ayev, hi, Ayev.
Yeah, it's like if you take that Minnesota accent and just amplify it several times, that's how she sings.
Yeah. Throw a little Valley Girl in there.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I suppose a little Valley
Very
Girl.
Very whiny.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
Yes.
I just.
'Tis true.
Yeah, no. This was one of those days where I didn't like anything.
I could tell. That's why I didn't come in until after I heard laughter. I was like, maybe he's cheered up by now.
No, that's
you've been
it.
Glowering all day. There's a word nobody uses anymore.
Honey, I'm just worn out. Glowering. I got two more days to go this
two
week.
Days.
I am worn out.
Yeah, he's got to go down to do an appearance.
I got
to
do the morning show.
Oh,
I have to do a tour of an advertiser's business, which is my pleasure. I understand, but I still something I have to do. I have to come back here to do a real estate meeting. Then I have to do the podcast. Then I have to drive to Treasure Island. Then I have to attend a cocktail reception for 2 hours.
At 8 o'clock, which is that's about night-night time for Tom.
Yeah.
8:30.
Then I have to get up at 5. Then I have to do the morning show at Treasure Island. Then I have to get in the car. Then I have to drive back up here to be here by 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon
to
3 o'clock. And then I have to do another real estate meeting after that. So my next 48 hours is going to be a son of a bitch.
Yeah, but Tom, you're being a perfect gentleman. You've been a perfect gentleman this whole show. Let me be
still
the perfect
gentleman. Everything fucking sucks. I did point that out several times during the show today.
You might have been a contrarian, but you were a perfect gentleman while you were doing that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, technically speaking, you're the person making yourself come into the podcast on Friday.
Are you going to do
you
it?
You only have yourself to blame.
Oh, Jesus.
I said Christ. You could have canceled tomorrow's podcast.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow
when
we have advertisers
leave?
Coming
you
in,
leave
so
tomorrow.
That would be
tomorrow after the show.
I know, but you could have gotten, like, out
no,
of town.
Honey, we have advertisers that want their commercials run. We have duties.
We
You're
do.
Full of duty.
We have the Rusty Gate and Bee Review video podcast on the Tom Bernard Network. The Rusty Gate and Bee Review is the entertaining show about entertainment. Rusty Gate and Bee will give you his opinion about upcoming movies, restaurants, music, or events, and will also feature in-studio guests. The Rusty Gate and Bee Review. Find it at therustygateandbeereview.com. That's therustygateandbeereview.com on YouTube or on the Tom Bernard Network page. Rusty Gate and Bee. Rusty, is Rusty coming in on Friday?
I imagine so.
I think so. Excuse me. Sorry.
She comes in for 10 minutes of the goddamn show.
I have been working my ass off.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Something like
I wish it
anyway.
Were.
Wish it was bullshit.
Yes. I wish I had been sitting having iced tea all day.
Oh, hitting Jude's bone against the wall?
No.
Well, yes, you were.
Jude was banging his tail into the wall then.
No, he was doing nothing.
He was doing something.
It was you.
It's all true. All right. Just going to wrap it up.
Is that it?
Does anybody have anything profound to say?
We should use that as our outro. Is that
you should hear. You have to listen to the part one when Cy Amundsen and Mischke are like yelling at each other.
I could hear it into my office.
It's unbelievable.
There. Yes.
It was
what was that all about?
I don't know. They were arguing about some
Nolan Ryan. Sandy Koufax.
I mean, oh, Mischke's story about Nolan Ryan. I actually was believing him too. It's like, really? He's a white supremacist? He just kept going. Look into his past and you see it.
He keeps that goofy-ass look on his face.
Yeah, he looks like he's an honest guy. That's why he gets away with it.
It's very funny. Yeah, he does. That's very, very true. Yeah. He looked like a construction worker, beer-swilling, honest guy today. Yep. Something like that. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.